Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. My name is Lindsay Curry, and this is my co-host, David Curry. Today on Hype's Leadership episode, we would like to welcome to the show Chase Urich, CEO of the Equita Group. Since 2007, Chase has built an impressive career in the insurance industry, specializing in final expense, Medicare, and annuities. He's recognized for his servant leadership style and his passion for helping producers and agency owners succeed in the senior market. As CEO of Equita, Chase has been instrumental in creating a proven sales system that blends elite training, innovative lead strategies, and comprehensive support, equipping agents to build thriving, impactful businesses. His focus remains on fostering long-term relationships and staying ahead of industry changes to better serve both agents and clients. Welcome to the podcast, Chase.
What an intro. Thank you.
Where are your flowers for today, Chase? That's what we call them, our flowers that we like to give to folks.
I'm going to eventually have to live up to at least a portion of that. So thank you. I'm humbled to be here with you guys. This is a lot of fun. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on, Chase. I'll just give you a little inside info. You can share this with Crabtree, your buddy, if you'd like to or not. But, you know, me and Kevin has always enjoyed conversating with you over the years and talking shop, picking brain about the business. And, you know, we've just always said that we feel like you guys are right there in front of where we're trying to go. So I'll give you that accolade and that one heads up. So that's why we always bug you so much.
Well, I love it. I appreciate the relationship, and we've learned a tremendous amount from you guys as well. That collaboration is we feel compelled to reciprocate just because of how much we've learned from you guys, all of you, Hype, Orca, everybody. So that's one of the things that makes AmeriLife really cool is the cross-pollination and the cultivating a relationship. So we appreciate you guys.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how that's changed for us. Like, if you looked at us pre-AmeriLife, you would think, you know, like we're always competing. It's always, you know, it's like we live in this dog eat dog world, and that's changed so much. And I love it, man. So I love our relationship, how much that's grown, the times we've shared. So to our listeners, as we always do, we like to theme these shows and podcasts off of a quote. And Chase, when I asked Chase what that quote of his was, he continued to go back to, he said, you know, it's more of a mantra. But it is. So today we're talking about setting the standard. So Chase said, my mantra is set the standard. And kind of like I just shared, Chase, we've always looked to you as somebody that has done that. You know, you've made strides, you've changed, you've grown. You're staying one step ahead, I feel like, of the business. So that's kind of what we're going to do today. We're just going to break that down and talk about that journey and learn from you. So when you said set the standard, Chase, I guess, what exactly does that mean to you? How have you used that over the years?
Well, you know, it seems self-explanatory, but it's really not. I equate everything, and this is going to show probably my meatheadedness, but we have like an internal battle cry on an annual basis here at Equita. You know, in the past, it was, you know, a few years ago, it was all gas, no brakes. Last year it was TPW, tough people win. And, you know, this year it's set the standard. And the reason for that is I'd love to take credit like I'm some genius that came up with this. But I took one of the things that high school football coaches are notorious for in collegiate programs is each year they have a battle cry. You know, if it's we were off pace last year in terms of culture, we weren't close enough, they're going to have some type of, you know, battle cry that's, you know, going to bring them all together. For example, in high school, it was HBO, Heartbeat of One for us my senior year. And so for us this year, following up on last year of TPW, tough people win. Grit, determination will get the job done. Don't worry about learning everything. we really pushed off to this year of now let's set the standard. And to answer your question, set the standard for us is, you know, it's establishing a level of excellence that we can look at the person in the mirror and say, I did what I was supposed to do today. You know, Nick Saban talks about, you know, it takes what it takes. And so that's what set the standard means for us, is we know what our expectations are of ourselves and what we want to accomplish in our business. And we just need to make sure that every day we're setting the standard, we're going out and doing what needs to be done to be successful.
Yeah, I love it. Like you said, maybe self-explanatory, but what I was thinking at that point was easier said than done.
Yep.
Right. Setting the standard is one thing. Showing up and doing it every day is another one. But I love that. I love how you guys get that momentum and build that culture towards the goal on a yearly basis. That may be something else we need to write down and we'll use here at Orca. There's no telling what kind of mantra Crabtree will come up with, right?
Something great. Something great for sure.
Yeah. Well, and when you really think about that, Chase, that's just getting 1% better every day, right? So setting the standard, hey, maybe we didn't hit this, but we did get 1% better in this aspect of our business. And so I love setting the standard. I love when you said that, because that's something that we've been a part of a tremendous amount of meetings, and constantly Chase is always, you have such a progressive business mindset and you're always looking towards the future on, hey, this is how we can tweak this. Hey, this is the feedback that I need here. And so I just wanted to compliment you, because I've constantly noticed, hey, he's got that progressive mindset that constantly is thinking, okay, what's going to happen next?
I appreciate that a lot. It's, you know, I do get redirected occasionally from our leadership team, you know, on, we got to keep our eye on the prize today, of course, but the set the standard piece is just, we're able to stay in the now using that motto, set the standard, because it's holding ourselves accountable, not only to others that are a part of the team, but just those expectations. And, you know, that's, for us, it's been a phenomenal battle cry this year. I don't know what we're going to come up with for next year, but it fits, and it's an evolutionary item. So we'll see what next year looks like.
Yeah, and I think it attracts, right? So which is proof in your pudding. So we'll get into that a little bit later as far as what you guys have done. Just from what I've seen from last year, this year, it's been really amazing. But I want to take us way back. I just want to make sure I understand, because I haven't really, you know, you and I have talked a lot, but I don't know what it looked like for you starting out in the business. We feel like kind of through conversation, your path has been similar to maybe ours, and you come in and, you know, you were just this guy that's got to try to found this crazy business we have to, because I got to make some money and feed some mouths and figure out how to do that. But you have transitioned over your career to, I mean, at the top of the game and running a massive, massive organization that's doing great things. So when you came in the business in 07, just walk us through, what was your role? When did you come in as an independent new agent like we did?
Yeah, so I actually started in reverse, which normally doesn't happen, I guess. I came in as a marketer. I was 21 years old, didn't know anything about the business. You know, college baseball, the dream of, you know, playing professionally said goodbye a long time ago. And so I actually got connected with Eric Brennan. He hired me in as a marketer, and once again, totally green. I learned quickly that I needed to get licensed. I needed to get out in the field and see what our guys were going through if I was going to be able to effectively recruit to it. Yeah. Understanding what our value prop is one thing, but do I understand what our agents go through on a daily basis? I needed to be able to see life through their eyes. And, you know, Eric and I talked about it. I got licensed, went out in the field. And it was, that's really, I think, what really helped the growth, in the knowledge, to be able to absorb it, understand it, digest it, and then be able to convey and understand really what our value prop was at the time. So started as a marketer, got licensed, got into the field, still this day, I'll write some business occasionally as it comes across, but, just fully focused on the growth piece now. But it was, I just got to get the perspective. I had to see what our people do on a daily basis to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, I love that. And no, I didn't really know that. So gives me a good idea. And the reason why I wanted to share that is because like you said, your perspective is a full scope of our business, from the guy that's, you know, dialing for dollars, we're recruiting, we're value propping, we're at the ground level, to the guy that's building the infrastructure and the systems and the processes for people like that to work and succeed. And I know I asked you, so when you think about an agent and that person now that I would say, if you're like us, you consider to be your client, right? That's who you're working for. You're looking to set them up for success. What are some of those things, if you're an independent agent, that you've got to have to succeed? What's the core of success for a newer agent?
Yeah, there's a few words that come to mind. Number one is discipline. That's something we teach on. And I know that it's a word that carries into many walks of, you know, parts of our lives, different parts of our lives, but discipline, belief, and the ability to stay in motion. And when I say stay in motion, I mean, like, the fear. A lot of people fail in this industry, unfortunately, because they feel like they have to have everything perfect. I have to know every little thing about every little thing. And that's when paralysis by analysis takes over. That's when the failure to take flight happens. So just sticking with the core fundamentals of discipline, believe in what you do. Believe that you're helping people, you're doing good for others, and you're going to get highly compensated for it, as long as you focus on serving. And then just stay in motion. Always be on the grind. Always be getting after it. Always be willing to learn more, because you're never going to know it all. And so that is the biggest one, because when I started as an agent, you know, it wasn't about having all the answers. It was about just showing up. Like, I tell my 21-year-old son this: if you just show up every day and you're around these guys and gals here that are already doing it at a high level, be on the calls, be in the culture, you're going to pick things up by osmosis. So, you know, be there, put in the reps, just be there. And then, you know, once you've mastered being there, you get yourself up, you're out there doing it, then start to develop discipline. If I'm supposed to be here at a certain time, be there. If I'm supposed to be knocking doors, you know, today, I can't let excuses get in the way. I got to be disciplined, and I got to do the things that I'm supposed to be doing, and just stay in motion. Those are the big three.
That's so true. I mean, especially the discipline portion and showing up. I mean, so many times, you know, especially knocking on doors, and me personally, especially if I got door killed or told no or rejection or whatever, that, hey, I just had to show up to the next door. And sometimes that's easier said than done. You know that, Chase. But it's so important that activity that you're talking about, staying in motion, that eliminates fear. And so as long as you're constantly active, that's what's going to lead you to success eventually.
100%. It's a race to 100. If you're brand new to it, I won't pontificate on this, but it's like we talk about with new agents, it's a race to 100 presentations. It's a race to 100 conversations in person. Just get all the weirdness, get all the uncertainty out of the way. The more you do it, the more comfortable you're going to get, to your point, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. So, Chase, let me ask you, so as a leader, how have you shaped your approach to ensure that your agents have the most important tools to help them succeed?
The most important tools piece, I mean, we're trying to stay in tune with what's happening in the industry, but also outside of the industry. Are there some things that are applicable outside of our industry that possibly could be brought in? So in terms of tools and resources, just talking to the agents, staying in tune with our team, our culture. And this is one thing you guys are phenomenal at. We marvel at what you guys have done from a cultural standpoint. That's a big deal to us as well. So we build everything with the family in mind. And our approach is, if it's good for the producer, it'll be good for the builder, and then it'll be good for us. We work in reverse compared to some organizations, as I know you guys do as well. For us, it's about what can we do to help those that are out there making it happen every day from a producer perspective. And, you know, we understand the struggles, you know, that producers go through. So it's like, how can we remedy that? How can we lighten that load a little bit and let them just focus on serving and seeing people? And it's more about than just giving tools. It's the direction, to your point, the leadership, the partnership, knowing that, you know, letting them know that they're never on their own. Like, because as an agent, typically, if you're going to see people face to face, your best friend is an empty passenger seat. That's not the way it is, unfortunately. And how awesome it is to work with, you know, a group like you guys and Orca. And that's, it's like, it doesn't matter. You're never left to your own. There's somebody a phone call away. There's a call that you can plug into. There's a community that you can ding your sails and share your successes. And so for us, it's the tools need to be culturally need to be solidified. And then let's work on technology. But it all starts with making sure that the agents are the focus.
No, you're right. I mean, as I'm listening to you speak and, you know, again, thinking about our journey and what we've done, and you're so right. And I think that also is what separates us, right? It is what separates usually the goods from the greats. And that is, it's not, we've said, I mean, what we do, the sales presentation, some of the resources, the CRMs, like you can probably find a lot of that everywhere, but you can't find me everywhere. And you're not going to find Chase everywhere. And being able to plug in and being that resource and that experience, you know, for somebody, I think you can't place a value on that. So there's probably nothing more important. And, you know, the thing we've taught Chase, and you've probably seen it too, is you got to have that agent that's humble enough and lets go of the ego enough to reach up and reach out and say, I don't have it all figured out. I do need some help. Can somebody come in and bring me along, you know, help me walk that journey. So just something for everybody to take away. You know, you got to be the one that's asking for it. I've just said this to my kids. I forget what silly, I think they want to stop by the gas station on the way home from football practice, you know, and they're all, I know they want me to, they're all whispering in the back car, somebody, I got three boys in the back and they're like, man, just ask him. And I know what they want. They're wanting. I just kept on cruising by and they said, well, we wanted to go to the gas station. And I said, well, you know what, boys, you never get what you don't ask for. Don't forget it. Don't forget that life lesson. You got to be willing to ask. Same thing. Like you said, even now as a grown man, yes, we all need help every now and then. Chase, you mentioned technology, and that's kind of been a big change. And you've been a driver. You've been somebody I've listened to through conversation, you know, as various meetings that we've been a part of over the past couple of years. And I know that you are doing a lot when it comes to that space. And I know that things change in our business. I just want to ask you in general, like, you've probably seen a lot. I mean, I know we have changed. We've gone from this one track mind, you know, very limited company offering for our agent to the client, to Medicare service and annuity service, and that holistic approach that AmeriLife so eloquently put in front of us as a challenge when we started, you know, that we were probably reluctant against at first, but now love and see as the absolute future. So from somebody that's been here, you know, Lindsay and I started in 14. So you've got twice our age in the business. What have you seen change throughout the industry and, you know, how you've used that to become better? Like, what, speak to that now, where we're at as an industry.
Yeah. So I'm not the most technology proficient person, but I do know that obviously the technology piece. I mean, we've seen a big shift, obviously, just over the last few years in terms of the product-driven experience, you know, for an agent as well as a client. I can remember back in 07, it's insane to even, my son looks at me when I bring this up to him. Like, we used to have to fax applications in. Like, there was no iPad. There was no Instant Decision e-app in. You know, we literally had to fax applications in, and there was no, you know, pay on issue or any of this stuff. And so looking at where technology is going, you know, everybody talks about artificial intelligence, and that's a big topic of discussion today. But I also look at, you know, some of the logic that is being applied back on our insurance carrier partner sides for underwriting medications, the speed of delivery on those things. It's a completely different world than it had been in the past, but the carriers are evolved, but also so have the consumers. The messages that they see on TV, the things that they read now with social media, you know, that what the importance hasn't changed though, which is that value that we bring, which is trust and accessibility. But technology is obviously the biggest one for me, because the products term, IUL, Simplified Issue Whole Life, you know, Medicare has changed. The products have changed a bit, but the delivery method and the usability by the agent from that experience is, it's just, it seems like it's light years ahead of just, you know, 2007. I'm actually blown away by it.
No, you're right. I think about the pen and paper we used to write. We still use that in the process. You know, there's still value there.
Yes.
But you're right. The consumer's changing too.
There is. And Glenn talked a lot. He would always talk about getting out a map and circling the county. And, you know, now with GPSs and, you know, Route for Me, all these different technologies. And I mean, just think about, and you're correct, Chase. I mean, really since 2019, how greatly it has grown in such a fast rate. I mean, it's changing rapidly and for the better.
100%. And I know you guys are super, you're very familiar, very proficient with direct mail. I remember back in the day, we got the actual card back and we had to stuff it in a manila folder, an envelope, and send it to our agents that we worked with. Like, Fridays weren't that fun because there were so many leads. I think the work is still the work. We still have, you know, the service to provide to the point you guys were making a moment ago. The overall method hasn't changed. We've just got a lot more bells and whistles and some resources at our disposal, but I think that'll continue to get better. And as long as we stay agile, David, to what you said a minute ago, as long as we remain coachable and forward thinking, those are going to be the ones that are thriving in this industry. Whereas we've got some of the guys with us, and I love them, and we talk about it, you know, weekly. If you're going to be the old man that says, get off my lawn, I don't need the internet, like, you're going to get left behind. So to what you said, reach out for help. If you're just like, man, I can't figure this stuff out, reaching out for help is essential.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely reaching out for help. So with your experience, so, you know, since 2007, Chase, what's your take on why is this business so important now to society more than ever?
I mean, families today are more vulnerable than they were before, you know. I don't know why I believe that, but I just believe that in the world we live in, things are kind of on tap, you know, at your disposal. And so I think people are in need of more guidance today than ever, just because of so much noise being presented. Like, you can watch a video on social media and you don't even know if it's AI or if it's real. So, yeah. You know, the marketing that's out there nowadays in certain situations, like, I just feel like our clientele need more guidance than ever. And in a world of uncertainty, we hear all we hear about on the news, if you watch that, is inflation, economic pressure, and misinformation. These things cause concern and anxiety for our clientele. And we get to come in and provide clarity and peace of mind and also financial security. So for me, it's like, we're that serving mentality isn't just a mantra. It's not just a fun tagline to talk about. You know, the average family isn't thinking about life insurance or long-term planning because they see all this crazy stuff. We get to come in and bring that to the forefront, have those conversations, and provide an actual, you know, fulfilling of a need for them. And that's why today, I just, to your question, I think it's more important today that we're educating, we're seeing people, and that's a beautiful thing because our business is, you know, is thriving, and there's a long-term future here.
No, you're right. I mean, just from my personal experience, getting into the Medicare space, learning Medicare, going from the simplistic FE, how these policies work versus the Medicare world and the complexity of what those plans do and serve on a regular, everyday basis for that client. I think you basically said what I do feel as well is the most important thing. You have somebody to trust. You have somebody to trust. Like we've said, even to the new agent, right? One thing we say that helps build confidence with them is most people, nobody you're sitting in front of went to school to learn about insurance like you did. So you can take that professional approach no matter how old, new you are in the business. And that is our value. That is the value prop that we provide to the consumer in this very much changing world of insurance and how that that can fit their need. Chase, I just want to ask you on the Equita itself, because I believe you guys still primarily sit down face-to-face with folks. Is that right? Or do you do a lot over the phone?
We, over the past year and a half, have started to incorporate more now than ever. We have a split. We're still probably, you know, let's say 60-40 now, which last year it was 70-30 in terms of face-to-face virtual. It's something that we had to, we kind of fought it for a little bit because we didn't have the internal infrastructure to support it. So we built it, and now we're able to support it. And yeah, we're doing quite a bit on the virtual side now.
Good. Yeah, because I'm, again, I think one step ahead of us. That's what we're seeing too. You know, you do see a lot of that. You see a lot of movement. Think the consumer has changed. I think COVID has helped. You know, we've had conversations lately and some of our leaders are like, man, you used to just hear so much negativity about a telemarketer. Now you go to these conferences and all your best performers are telemarketers, telemarketer, telemarketer. And it is, I think COVID helped a consumer become more comfortable doing business that way, which is now challenging us to provide to them that way. And one thing I know from sitting at the top of the seat at the call centers are we can see more clients in a day than we could driving around with that empty passenger seat in a week. You know what I mean? So there is a lot of value there, and maybe that's what's helping you scale. Because I know, I think you made a comment, and I think it may have been last year, end of October, November, when we were together down in Florida. You said, you know, I think y'all did $50 million in production last year, and you were shooting for $100 this year. Is that about right?
Yes, sir. And we are on base.
Hey, growth, right? You know, it's not bad.
That's not awesome. Bad. Yeah.
So I know I asked you kind of like, I guess, and you can share what you want to share, but it's like, how have you been able to do that? And how have you presented yourself as being, again, that person that people are attracting to? That growth rate is crazy, you know?
Yeah. So for us, what we looked at was number one, we didn't deviate from our fastball. We didn't deviate from what got us to the dance, which is final expense, life insurance. We wanted to enhance because we started to find over time, we looked back, one of the few times we're okay with going back and looking in the rearview mirror, we looked at potential opportunities that were lost based off of just not being pros or being familiar with a particular market. So leaving a principal's meeting at AmeriLife, as you alluded to earlier, hearing Scott, and even Brandon Clay talk about holistic organic. Immediately following us doing our partnership with AmeriLife, I'm like, why have we not been selling Medicare this whole time? We've been doing final expense. So instead of taking it from a fire hose perspective, we went bite-sized chunks. We said, okay, look, this market marries up with final expense. Same client, same demographic. It's literally yin and yang. Medicare is the hardest to learn, easiest to do.
Yeah.
Final expense is the easiest to learn, hardest to do. Mm. Well, that literally fits like a puzzle piece. We've got something here. And then, you know, the following year, we found that, hey, look, we're missing out like on opportunities to help our clients with, you know, lazy money with annuities.
Yeah.
And so we started to, after about a year and a half, we sat down as a leadership team and it's like, look, we can't be everything to everyone, but there's some synergies here, market synergies that we need to tap into. And we started to notice that these relationships that we've been fostering and we've really put a premium on that are important to us, it started to bring other opportunities. Like we have an agent that works with us who's great at final expense, but because we didn't offer Medicare, he was doing it somewhere else. Well, once he finds out we're doing Medicare, he's like, dude, I would love to help you guys build some training. I'd love to be a part of anything you need. That stuff just started to, the culture started to take over. But we had a realistic outlook and perspective on it. Like, we are not looking to dominate or become the biggest and best thing in the world. We need to learn this so that we can effectively teach it. And it just started to snowball. So to answer your question, we want to be able to diversify as an organization, as a team, so that we can upgrade the value prop and value platform that we offer to agents that may call us and ask questions, hey, I'm interested in working with you. Yeah, we do ACH. Yeah, we do have an annuity platform. Yeah, absolutely. Medicare is something that we do, and we do a lot of it. Same thing for life insurance. So we had to do the same thing with virtual, but I was very reluctant. I was very against it until someone could show me that things had changed. And we owned a call center for years. And after we did our acquisition deal with AmeriLife, we had moved it over there to work with the DTC team. And some really good leadership came back and said, hey, look, this thing's viable. Here's metrics. You know, we'll lead the charge. And it's been good. It's a daily growth item for us where we're paying very close attention to it. How do we enhance it? How do we improve? But, you know, just overall enhancing the value that we can provide to agents so that they can better serve clients. That's just where our heart's at. And if it's something viable, we'll plug it in, bring it on.
Yeah. And I love how you said, because I think there's so much power in what you said, and it's kind of the slow play, you know, and I know we've fallen victim to, okay, yes, we see this as being a viable option of growth and a next step, great synergy, but you have to build that out the right way. And, you know, I'll just share a quick story. You know, we're John Maxwell Certified Leadership Team. We're plugged in with John and his following. And I was just with him and Dan Cathy down in Atlanta this past week. And John tells this story. You know, John is, you know, one of the touted best leadership guru there ever has been. And he does amazing things. At this point in his life, he's 78 years old, right? The guy's probably got enough money that he doesn't have to do what he's doing every day if he doesn't want to. I think he's probably going to be just fine. But John tells this story about where he's at and the conviction that he has. And I think it's similar to what you just said. He's like, I have the ability. I've worked my whole life, right? Building these daily actions that have built this portfolio of who I am. And I have more opportunity right now to impact at a greater rate, multiplicative rate than I ever have my whole life. How could I stop doing it? I can do more now in one day. I can impact more. He's impacting countries at a time and transforming these underprivileged countries with values and leadership and education in their systems and training people that are multiplying who he is as a person. And he's like, if I was to stop, what injustice is that? And I think you said it, as you are what you are today, you can't, I guess, devalue all the work that you've put in day after day after day after day. And I think what I'm trying to say as far as a value point to a listener is, like, as I feel this myself, sometimes you wonder if you're really doing what you need to do, or if you need to keep doing what you've been doing, or if what you're doing is making a change, making an impact. And I think you are a prime example, if you look at the picture, as to how you go from 50 to 100 in a year, is that you've been working towards that for 10 years. Right. And now we have put together this thing that will attract that type of explosion. So for the people that are sitting there wondering if the work and the grind and the grit that it takes to keep showing up is ever going to pay off, it does. It just takes a while.
It does.
And at some point you turn around and you're like, damn, how did that happen last year? Like, wow.
Well said, for sure.
But I just want to commend you too, because I know you're driving every day to continue to put those pieces in the puzzle that are going to let you go from 100 to 2.
You know? Yeah, and that it's going to frustrate some around you if you're driven. You know, you're gonna agitate some, because if your tempo isn't matched to someone else's, they're going to be like, dude, slow down. And my wife tells me that all the time. Like, can we put the phone down? Can we just put it down? But at the same time, it's just keeping that energy, keeping that juice for the love of what you do. I'm thankful that this is what we do. And man, like, that gratitude, which it kind of gets talked about as kind of a fun thing to say on social media. But if you can literally wake up and be like, I am so grateful that we get to do this, and Like, there's worse things and worse places to be and be doing. Like, super thankful. It makes it a lot easier to say, okay, hey, look, this is in perspective. We got a long way to go. We're not a perfect product. I am extremely flawed, but hey, we're going to figure this out. We're going to get after it. That's a beautiful thing to be able to wake up to every day.
No,
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. We actually just did our last episode on gratitude. So I love that. And I'm sure you haven't heard it, but I'm so thankful that you just mentioned gratitude as such a part of your practice, because that just speaks to a high performer and when you have a heart of gratitude.
Grateful for the bad days. I'm grateful for the great days. Like, they all help. It all helps me get better at what I do.
Builds character.
Well, you're right, dude, because, you know, like I said, I was just with John this past week, Sunday, Monday, learning from him. He's teaching on what it takes to be a one percenter. And consistency was one of the overarching, like, yeah, gotta have this. And it's kind of what we just talked about when you're consistent over time. But he said what misses, you know, it may be easy to be persistent, but it's hard to stay consistent for a long time without that deep love. Without a true love or gratitude towards what it is you're waking up for, eventually you lose the passion, you lose the motivation to keep doing the grindful things. So, you know, I guess we'll kind of wrap it up with that. Chase, I know we asked you, like, maybe a little bit about that love that you have, because I was going to, you know, you kind of answered it. I'm wondering how do you still stay so driven? And you do. You keep perspective of that. I do love what I do, man. Like, it can be a lot worse somewhere else, you know? So talk to us about what you love and about the industry, about what you're doing, about the people around you. What excites you like that? What keeps you going?
I honestly, to keep it in perspective, I always revert back to 21-year-old, 22, 23-year-old me. And it was like, look, I'm not 70 or by any means, but I think back about, you know, the ambitious, but also, you know, discombobulated me, learning and trying to figure things out. To answer your question, I love watching people win. And I love watching our people win. I love watching your people win. I love watching the AmeriLife family win. I love watching people on the other side of the fence that are with competitors win. And it's because, I say that legitimately and authentically, because this isn't an easy business. And there's a reason there's metrics that show a percentage of fail rate, but there's nothing more rewarding than seeing someone come in who's unsure of themselves. They're doubting themselves. They, you know, got told by somebody else to get into this, or they thought it was great because they saw it online, whatever. And then just completely transform the person they are as well as their life through belief and mentorship and just grit, like you said. I love that. I see it happening in my 21-year-old right now. Who he was when he left college football and who he is today is because of those he's around and that he's allowing pour into him. And I love seeing that part of it. I love seeing people win when they make the decision to push their chips in the middle of the table and say, I'm going all in. I'm not one foot in. I'm not one foot out. And I love selfishly to help be a part of that at any what little bit I can, and us as a team here as well. That for me, there's somebody out there today that's going to want to talk to the Equita Group or to Orca or to Hype. We get a chance to help them. That's a win right there, man. We get compensated beautifully to do it. That is a rarity in my opinion, and that's what juices me up.
No, that's phenomenal. And I love that you said just to be a part. So just being a footprint in the part of their journey, because there's nothing more rewarding. You're exactly right. To see somebody win or get their first commission statement or light up like they got to finally put that down payment on the house, something that they've been striving and working towards. It's very rewarding.
It's all about. For me, you guys know this because you have great relationships with your team. Like, it becomes family at some point. Like, we're friends and then it's like family. Like, when they buy that house, when you know, their kids go off to college and they're telling you, hey, I gotta go drop, you know, Becky off at college this week. Like, you're telling me about your family. We're family at some point. And if you don't stop and realize that this is not transactional, this is a different business, that we can go from being transactional, and I don't mean to sound cheesy, I truly believe this, and we can go to being transformational, and like impact people's lives. You don't know if somebody doesn't have many friends, if they just live alone and this is all they got. That relationship with you and your team may be something really important to them. It's there's so much to it. We love watching people win.
Yeah, you're right, and it's not everywhere. You know, it's a great that's a great reminder of the opportunity that we have in this business, in this industry. What a crazy world we live in. So glad we stumbled into it. But that's the standard, man. You talk about it, you set the standard, there it is, right? Is it really lock arms up with the people that you're doing it with? And I think you're always going to be happy with the results. So,
yes. Chase, thank you so much we're honored that you are part of our show today. Thank you. Thank you to our listeners. And thank you to Hype listeners. We will see you all next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's hype.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.